Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There is good news off the top of the program. Happy to let you know that Jeff Sintel is back. We missed Jeff on Tuesday. He was away, but now he returns. What I think of as a triumphant return, and we'll talk a little recruiting with Jeff Sintel coming up in just a couple of minutes. I also want to talk recruiting off the top of the program here because I think I get a sense that there is a real feeling starting to kind of bubble up around Dog Nation as we head towards G-Day on April 20th and just the whole vibe around spring. You had great weather in the state of Georgia yesterday. It's just kind of a fun time to be a Dog fan right now, kind of a fun time to look ahead to all of this. And there's excitement for what's going to happen between the White Lions on the field, both in spring practice. Dogs back at it again tomorrow. They practiced yesterday. We didn't get a chance to see that, but we'll get to see some of what's going to happen on Saturday. And there's a lot of excitement about that. But there's also this excitement about the way that G-Day is going to probably start to form up when it comes to that visitor list of elite 4- and 5-star names who are going to be on campus. And the way that, given some of the recruiting timeline changes of the last couple of years, given some of the ways that these spring official visits for other programs, especially the Big Ten teams, they like to host a lot of their stuff now in the warm weather time, because let's face it, who wants to go to some of these campuses when it's cold? But all of a sudden, the spring season has become a lot hotter of a timeline when it comes to recruiting, just given the nature of the changes. Now all of a sudden get the early signing period in December, so all of a sudden that intensifies some of the recruiting stuff that happens during December, or I should say during the spring. We've even heard some of the Georgia recruits that the Dogs are trying to chase down say, yeah, listen, I'm chomping at the bit to take some of my visits coming up this spring, get those officials lined up, get those unofficials lined up, get my tour together where I'm going to go out. And Georgia fans are likewise excited to see, okay, what kind of list is going to be forming for G-Day? What kind of roll call of elite names can we start to expect to form on this? Well, Jeff Sintel is going to have great reporting for this for us at DogNation.com. But some of this stuff's also going to pop up on social media and pop up in the, you know, general internet chatter, and Dog fans are going to gravitate towards all of that as it happens. An example of that here this week, as a 5-star name has made it official saying, yes, put me down. Consider this my RSVP for G-Day. It's the 5-star defensive back, Keely Ringo, from out in Arizona. He tweets out this week, I will be in Athens on 420 for the G-Day festivities. Got a little bit of a graphic that he's using from UGA to celebrate that. So as you're putting together this list of 5-star names who are going to be at G-Day for the end of the Georgia spring practice, go ahead and add Keely Ringo's name to that. And listen, I cannot wait to watch this list grow over time. I cannot wait to see how the names are added to this. Who's at Georgia, and maybe, you know, who over the course of the spring doesn't go other places. This is going to be a fun twist and turn when it comes to this soap opera. And I think, you know, you got a couple different things going when you look at G-Day this year. It is April 20th. It's the last of the SEC spring games. The last few years, I want to say, the final SEC spring game, for whatever reason, had been Arkansas. But this year, it's Georgia. That date to themselves. Most of the other spring games are earlier. Georgia obviously likes to avoid Master Sunday or Saturday and things like that. So that's one of the reasons why they play around with their scheduling. So you get the good and the bad when it comes to that April 20th date for Georgia this year. The good of it is you don't have to worry about any elite recruits being in anybody else's spring game, because to my knowledge, there aren't any other SEC spring games that day. The bad of this is it's also the day before Easter. Now, for some families with young kids, that's a little bit of a challenge. For these 17 and 18-year-old young men, I don't know that's going to be quite such a big deal, or maybe even 16-year-olds as well. But it should be one of those opportunities where you see Ringo's name added in here. And it's difficult to know, you know, Ringo right now, if you look at some of the online chatter, he's certainly a lot more connected to other schools than he is UGA. I would argue that defensive back right now is not even a primary position of need for the Dogs. But the fact that you're starting to see this visitor list come together, I think all in all, in itself, is certainly good news. And we'll look forward to leaning on Jeff Sintel to add more names to that list as we get even closer to April 20th. The other piece of really good news here is, no matter what the list of elite recruits ends up looking like for that day, my guess is they should be treated to a bit of a show. And I wanted to take a moment here at the end of this week to kind of recap some of the things that we've learned this week. And this is stuff we haven't had on Dog Nation Daily yet. I've talked a lot about a lot of this stuff on other video platforms like DN90 and whatnot. Haven't really talked about this on Dog Nation Daily. There are a couple of things this week that I thought Kirby Smart said that were incredibly interesting. And I think the overall theme for me on this, the overall takeaway, and I actually briefly actually touched on this in a written piece this morning for DogNation.com, which is that so far, a lot of these big-name recruits are as advertised. You know, you're always, you know, for, especially for, you know, people who've been around for a long time, anytime a hyped-in recruiting class comes together, anytime, you know, a bunch of well-known recruits, guys who were famous before they arrived at Georgia, anytime they show up on campus, there's always going to be that natural suspicion of, does this young man turn out to be as good as other people have said he's going to be? Is this guy going to fulfill all the potential of five-star status? And if you've been around the block for a long time in college football, you can think of examples where some guys just haven't done that. Thus far, though, a lot of the biggest name Georgia recruits, either guys going into their second year or a lot of guys who just arrived at UGA for the first time, having their first, what, I guess now five spring practices, thus far, a lot of these guys are turning out to be kind of what you expected. Let me start on the defensive side of the ball, where we know that Kirby Smart has talked a lot about the need to increase what he's called havoc and what some of the stat people around college football also call havoc plays, when you combine the sacks and the tackles for loss and passes broken up, interceptions, things along those lines. You know, anything that kind of wreaks havoc on the opposing defense, that's something that Georgia maybe hasn't done enough of in the last couple of years, something that Kirby Smart said he wants to do more of. And what I wrote last week at DogNation.com was, if that's going to indeed happen, if Georgia is going to wreak more havoc as a defense this year, I don't believe that's necessarily going to be because of some schematic thing. You know, you're not going to dial this up. You know, this is not something that a coach does on a whiteboard. This is something players do on green grass, that individual players winning their one-on-one battle is what's going to lead to more so-called havoc plays. And the fact that Georgia has recruited those pass rush positions, those front seven positions so well over the last couple of years, that's one of the things that really speaks well to Georgia's chances of accomplishing the goal that Kirby Smart says he has. And two of the newcomers that are factoring into that conversation in a big way right now are the nation's arguably number one prospect, Nolan Smith from the class of 2019, and the nation's top junior college prospect, Jermaine Johnson. They're both outside linebackers. They are both pass rushers. They are both guys who are planning to spend a lot of time in the backfield as college football players. And once again, it's an example of these guys so far looking kind of like we expected them to look. Kirby Smart tossed both these guys kind of a nice compliment this week, and I wanted to make sure here on Dog Nation Daily you had a chance to hear that. Here is Kirby on Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson.
I've seen hunger out of both those guys. They don't know exactly what to do yet, but man, they do it hard. And there's something to be said for that. You know, we're going to play kids at University of Georgia that give effort and play hard and do the right things. And those two guys, man, they play hard. Now, they don't know what they're doing yet. That's our job. That's our job. I'm very thankful that they're here 15 practices. And, I mean, Nolan has flashed some plays. He made a hell of a hit today and a really good play. He's also flashed some what are you doing. And Jermaine's been the same way. You know, we call them Superman plays, where you look out there and go, man, who is that guy? And you say, who is that jersey number? But then they're lost some too. So I'm fired up to coach those two guys because I'm excited to what they're going to do to the guys in front of them.
Don't you love that? Kirby Smart saying, and you know, he's a fan of football in addition to being a football coach himself, saying, I'm just fired up to coach those guys. I'm excited to have them a part of this program. And y'all know this, when it comes to, you know, what a coach does in a time of year like this, there's certain things that you can teach guys to do and certain things you can't teach guys to do. You can teach Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson to know where to stand or know where to line up or know what to identify on any kind of play. That's a cerebral thing. You can add that to a player's repertoire. What you cannot teach, though, is how to go out there on a field and be Superman. Now, it would be wrong to say that Johnson and Smith are doing that on every single down, every single snap during spring practice. Kirby Smart just said they're not. But the fact that they're doing it at all right now shows the capacity they potentially have as football players. And for a Georgia fan, that ought to be pretty exciting. And for a lot of these recruits coming into G-Day, that's one of those things they can maybe expect to see on the field there that day. Other side of the ball for a minute before we wrap up this portion of the program. Something else from this week I wanted to make sure that you heard was Kirby Smart talking about another former five-star signee. This time, it's offensive lineman Jamari Salyer. Now, I went to Athens this week wanting to ask Smart about Salyer, just simply based on the fact that we'd heard a good bit about Trey Hill as of late. We'd heard a good bit about some of these other offensive linemen, but I was left kind of wondering where Jamari Salyer, a guy who was, as I wrote this week at DogNation.com, as much of an impact, you know, a recruit as you ever could be, as highly praised as any prospect on the recruiting trail could have been, But it had, for me at least, been a little quiet in terms of evaluating Salyer in his early college performance. Well, Kirby Smart changed that this week. He had a lot to say about Salyer, and for Dawg fans hoping to see him in the mix for playing time and offensive line, you'll feel really good to hear Kirby Smart say this.
I'd say he's, in four practices, he's most improved offensive lineman. Now, it's not center, because he's working at center as a candidate, but he's working at right tackle and right guard. And let me tell you something. He's played quick. The biggest jump has been that guy. And you kept waiting on it because you knew that you were getting a really talented player. I didn't see the DeMar I've seen this spring. I didn't see that any in the fall. And he's challenging some guys. He's making other guys work hard. And, you know, I didn't know if the guy could be a right tackle. Well, he's gone out right tackle, played well. He's gone out right guard, played well. He goes to center and blocks Jordan Davis. And then you start going, who is that? That's Jamari. Well, who is that right guard? That's Jamari. Jamari's done some good things. And we gave him some look today with the ones. And we'll continue to do that if he continues to play well.
And just to be clear, that's not me banging on the desk over and over again. That's Kirby Smart doing that, as he has a bit of a habit to do. He's almost like one of those fire and brimstone preachers who's getting ready to give an altar call as he bangs on his podium over and over again as he speaks. But let me just kind of wrap up all of this off the top of the program on this final day of the week by saying this. Here around Dawg Nation Daily, you know, we talk about wanting to be the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. And for me, my job is just to try to have fun, if at all possible. We're not trying to be too serious. We're not trying to be heavy-handed. We're not trying to, you know, come down off an ivory tower and deliver the, you know, the serious voice news. We just want to have fun every day. And it has never been easier to have fun with the Georgia program than it is right now. I don't know how this season's going to end. I don't know if Georgia wins a national championship. We talked yesterday about a little bit of pressure on Kirby Smart, but maybe get that done this year. Yeah, that may exist. I don't know where ultimately this story is heading, where this season's going to end up. But right now, I got to tell you, this spring, it's a lot of fun. There are five-star recruits like Keely Ringo coming to G-Day. There'll be a whole lot more. Some of the elite signees from Georgia on defense, like Jermaine Johnson, Nolan Smith, so far at practice are looking pretty good. 2018 signees, in the case of Jamari Salyer and others, they look like they're getting ready to take the next step with their development. What a time to check in on UGA news every single day. This spring thus far has been a blast, and I, for one, can't wait to see what's coming next. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dawg Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dawg Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including posting the show every day to the world-famous DawgNation.com. We are just really glad to have you with us. Jeff Sintel will be back with us in just a moment. I know you're excited about getting some more recruiting information from Jeff. We'll look forward to doing that today. Let me also remind you that spring practice updates here on Dawg Nation Daily brought to you by Harris Cherokee Casinos. And y'all have been hearing me tell you for a while now about Harris Cherokee Casinos. I love the properties. I love the venues. They are a ton of fun, not too far away from Atlanta either, which is always good news. I also want to make you aware of a big event coming up to the Harris Cherokee Casinos as well. The World Series of Poker is going to be making a stop at Harris Cherokee Casino in April. It's April 10th through the 22nd, and you can be a part of this. Registration begins on April 10th for this. You can show just how good you are at the tables as a part of a big-time World Series of Poker event. April 10th through the 22nd. Registration begins on April 10th. Easy to get there. Short drive from Atlanta. It's going to be so much fun. So here's the website you need to remember. And if you're listening, radio or podcast, I'll say this a couple times so you can remember it. It's Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. That's Caesars.com/Harris-Cherokee. And if you're, of course, watching on video, you can see that site on your screen. You can also go to DawgNation.com today as well. Just check the top of the page at DawgNation.com. There's a great link to get in there. And you can also find out about more of the cool stuff going on all the time at Harris Cherokee Casinos. But the big World Series poker event comes to Harris next month. So that's going to be a bunch of fun there in Cherokee. All right, we're running a little bit late here. So why don't we do this? We had a really interesting update yesterday from Chris Milton, the father of the five-star running back Kendall Milton. He weighed in on the topic. We had some fun with when it comes to Paris Johnson. So let me push that a little bit later on the show, if you don't mind, because I don't want to go super long here off the top. I know a lot of you want to get in with Jeff Sintel. So here is some of the stuff that's coming up with Jeff. I'll ask him about Keely Ringo, the visit that he has planned for G-Day. I'll get some early thoughts from Jeff about how the rest of that list is starting to come together. Jeff also talked to a big-time recruit here who is also just fresh off the heels of a Georgia visit. He'll give us some updates on that, maybe a bit of a preview about what you might be able to read later on at DogNation.com. That's going to be fun. I want to get some reaction to Jeff from a couple of the things that we heard in yesterday's program, too. Jameel Burrows addressing his interest in LSU. Arik Gilbert addressing, I don't want to say concerns about how Georgia's using the tight ends. Curiosity, that might be a better word for that. It's also just been a while since we've talked to Jeff, so there's no telling what else may pop up in this conversation. So let's get ready to welcome him in right now. It's great to have you with us as part of Dog Nation Daily as well, and hope you're getting ready to enjoy a fine weekend.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
The prodigal has returned. What a happy welcome it is for us to bring back Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation's recruiting insider, to our program. Folks don't like it when Jeff's gone for too long, but he is back now, and it is good to have him back a part of our program once again. Happy Friday to you, Mr. Sintel. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, and hope you're doing well today.
Man, hey, Brandon, I'm great. Hey, one thing I'd like to do, I don't know if you've done it on the program yet this week, Brandon, but I would just like to say something in honor and in memory of, I guess, a member of Dog Nation that we lost this week. That would be Marcus Davis, beloved friend to a lot of good Georgia people that we both know, and he left us pretty suddenly this week, so I just wanted to ask everybody out there to keep his memory and also his family in their thoughts and prayers as well.
You know, Jeff, that's well said. It's obviously one of those moments, and a lot of folks may have seen some talk about this on social media this week. You know, those of us who do this every day, we're lucky enough to get to meet and talk with a lot of Georgia fans. And ultimately, Jeff, you know, nobody wants Georgia to win more so than me, and nobody wants to see success for the program more so than I do. But the real story of our lives is not how many wins we get to see. It's how many friends that we connect with, how many relationships that we build because of this Dog Nation thing. And I don't just mean our website or our show. I mean the, you know, the universe of people who gather together in red and black. You know, it's those relationships that are the real scoreboard. And when a member of that, I'll say the word, when a member of that family, you know, leaves us, there is a loss and there is a sadness. And I think there's some of that going on in the case of Marcus, because I've certainly seen that talk on social media. But there's also a celebration as well of a life well lived. And so, Jeff, I appreciate you bringing that up on the program today.
Yeah, that's really good. Really well said there as well, Brandon. I think you nailed it. It's more important not to have five stars on the board or five stars on the depth chart, but five-star friends. And Marcus was definitely one of those to a lot of people. He was the guy that made sure everybody had something good to eat. He was a guy that was one of those folks that made the drinks taste better and the plate taste better when he was at the tailgate. And he also originated a term that I know you'll probably use a lot of the next year, which is the curb stomp term. And, you know, Mr. Davis and his family, just really feel for them and those that love them. Really, really great deal today.
Well, no easy way to transition from that back to the topic at hand. But obviously, Marcus loved talking UGA football, so I know he'll appreciate us doing that in his honor today. And Jeff, I talked off the top of the program about what I saw on Twitter, and no doubt you saw as well. Folks that followed your account saw this retweeted yesterday, the fact that five-star defensive back Keely Ringo has plans of being at G-Day. For me, Jeff, this is an excitement, not just because I like Ringo as a player, although I do, but I love seeing this visitor list start to form. You know, I think this has been a good spring for Georgia thus far. The reports I'm getting from practice have been really positive. And when you start now adding to this, ooh, who's that visitor list going to be for G-Day? The fact that Ringo sends in his RSVP this early just builds, I think, more anticipation for what April the 20th is going to be like.
Yeah, he came in for, you know, I'll be honest, Brandon, when I saw your notification come across my phone, I had to think for a minute, and I'm like, which five stars are public and which five stars are not public yet about, you know, which one you were referring to. And then I couched back and checked down to, oh, yeah, Mr. Ringo put his out there yesterday. But I tell you, this will be kind of huge because I do expect – I won't call it an arms race, Brandon, but I do expect Georgia to have to at least put on a show and at least maybe have some booms that everybody likes to see coming out of G-Day, because those Clemson Tigers, they will have their spring game a couple weeks earlier in the month of April. And, you know, the chatter, as you like to refer to it, might have multiple five stars choosing Clemson on their day of their spring game. So that would be something to watch there for sure.
That's a really good point. I didn't mention that off the top of the program, and I guess I probably should. The point that I made was Georgia having the SEC calendar to itself might end up being a good thing. But given the way that Georgia recruits nationally now, you know, in the case of Ringo, he's from Arizona. A lot of these other guys are from all kinds of different states, all over the place. When you come to the expense of travel, and Georgia, I think, certainly I hope that these are unofficial visits these guys take. When it comes to the expense of travel, is this one of those things where if you're a national recruit, you can choose Clemson or Georgia, even though they're not the same day, but just because of, you know, the logistics, the expense, everything else, you can't do a Clemson one week and a Georgia the next week because the funds for travel are not unlimited? Is that a reasonable concern here?
I guess it is, but it's also for some families that they, you know, the spring officials, it's kind of funny, Brandon, as much as this offers an opportunity for kids to use them, they don't really use them because a lot of guys want to see them at a game. You know, with Ringo, Ringo's already been to Georgia. He had a prolific visit, I would say, at the end of January for Georgia. His mother was here with him, but he's also, you know, some folks think, let me just back up on Ringo a little bit, the player, some folks, some analysts out there think he might be one of the two or three very best football players in the country. Now, prospecthood and everything else is another matter entirely. But the second thing is he's from Arizona, and he spent a lot of time at Texas over his spring break. I'm talking, I think it was almost a full week at Texas over his spring break. That's a program that's ascending. That's a program that's now trying to go after those high five-star targets. That's a program that still needs some five-stars in its defensive backfield. Proximity-wise, it's also a little closer to Arizona. So I know folks, when they like to look at spring practice visitor lists, it was no secret or no surprise to guys that do this job for a living that you kept seeing Clay Webb come back for Georgia spring games when he was in the heart of Alabama, when he could have went to Clemson, he could have went to Auburn, he could have went to Alabama on a lot of occasions. Those are early indications that there is a very strong relationship forming. And, you know, one of the storylines I'm going to monitor over the next couple of weeks is, I don't know if I've ever put it in the written word form yet, at least on the main side. I know it shows up on our forum. But I do, to me, feel it is highly interesting. We can go back the last few classes for Georgia. And Georgia was always working one to two classes ahead. What I mean by that is they always had one early kind of anchor recruit for the class beyond the current class. And you think about guys like Max Ray in 2018. You think about Luke Griffin. You think about Nolan Smith in 2019. You think about Richard LeCount in 2017. Here we are, Brandon. It's almost, you know, we're almost a couple of weeks away from the spring game. And, you know, there's some 2020 commitments populating. Everybody's glad to see those. But we've yet to see a public 2021 commit as well. And some of those guys, some of those storylines might also sharpen up around G-Day as well.
So I should have asked you about this already, and I guess I'll use this as a peg to kind of get into this with you. I did see some chatter from Micah Morris on Twitter over the weekend about a potential announcement coming up. Is there a chance that Morris could potentially become a part of this discussion, or is it too early to tell on that?
I think it's, you know, I think what Morris could potentially do is a lot of things. I think he could choose to announce to an All-American game. He could choose to end his commitment decision early. But with him, he's got so much Georgia interest and very strong Georgia interest at that. He wore Georgia gloves at the opening in Atlanta on last Sunday. But he's got some strong Alabama interest as well. I would be surprised if this is a school choice here, Brandon. I would think it's more likely him deciding on a certain All-American game already early. When you see things like this so early from a guy one cycle ahead, that really stands to reason that Micah Morris is probably going to end up one of the top five or top 10 players in the country for 2021. And with what we saw and the way he handled Miles Murphy on a couple of occasions and the way he made the final five in the Atlanta opening, it looks like that is a very Very easy projection to make when it comes to young Micah Morris.
And just to give some context for this, Micah Morris, a 2021 offensive lineman from Camden County that's been a powerhouse program in Georgia for a long time. And Morris, as Jeff said, really made a name for himself, it seems, based on what I've heard from what happened in Stockbridge last week. And he has teased on Twitter some sort of announcement coming up at sometime soon. I think it's tomorrow, so we will see where that goes from there on that. Let me get back to what I had originally planned to discuss a little bit more of, speaking of visits to Georgia. Jeff, it sounds like you've got a piece coming up at DogNation.com today about a young man, a pretty impressive prospect, that just took a Georgia visit. Are we allowed to let the cat out of the bag on some of this kind of stuff, or is this a check back on Dog Nation to see type of thing?
No, you'll learn about a young man who Boogie Land came to Athens yesterday. This is Jalen Kimber, who's known as Boogie. He's also out of Texas, and he's very free to move about the country, so to speak, not trying to quote Southwest Airlines or Delta or anything like that. But he's not from Texas, and he's a guy that I can see leaving the state of Texas. He is a corner. I think he's a top 20 cornerback, 6'1", 175. He's on one of those tours. It seems like a lot of kids these days, Brandon, what they do is they use their spring breaks and they try to check off. I think with Kimber, he has already seen Georgia Tech. He saw Georgia yesterday. He's on his way to Carolina. He also wants to see Clemson. He also wants to see Alabama and Auburn. So he's got a 6-7 city southeastern tour over a large time span of days to kind of figure out his decision. And he does want to make his decision before his senior year. And he does seem to be a clear priority on the Georgia board at cornerback. You'll learn a lot more about him today on DogNation.com.
Yes, that's coming up at DogNation.com. And whether it be Kimber or someone else, Jeff, am I right to say that if you're on a barnstorming tour with a bunch of your high school teammates, that counts as like three-quarters of a visit? Is that a fair assessment? I don't mean for Kimber in particular. I just mean for these recruits in general. We, as you said, have seen a lot of that as of late. That seems to be a trend, especially for these programs like Georgia that want to recruit nationally. Is it true to say that if it's you know, a multi-stop visit, if you got high school teammates with you, that's not a full visit? That doesn't count as a whole visit. Is that fair?
It's sort of like speed dating, Brandon. I think the thing with Kimber and Boogie was good was that Georgia defensive backs coach Charlton Warren was already talking to him a lot. Kirby Smart was already talking to him, and Georgia was already hitting him up and lighting him up a great deal. This is in some way what I use speed dating, where Kimber kind of told me coming out of that visit that he has seen enough now where Georgia has positioned itself for an official visit. That's sometimes what it is with a lot of these kids, is they sit there and they go, okay, who's in it, who shouldn't be in it? Let me just go through these guys really quickly and figure out who deserves to be in my final five, so to speak. And I think that's what Boogie Land is doing right now with this Southern tour.
So I like the nickname Boogie Land. That's like I can get behind that nickname. That's a pretty good nickname right there. I don't mind that at all.
Well, the nickname game at the University of Georgia will become quite challenging one day. Maybe we'll do a pick six one day and we'll throw out nicknames and I'll have you match the nickname to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, I like that. That's not a bad idea at all. Okay, so let me catch up with you. By the way, it's our Marlowe's Tavern Tell All with Jeff Sintel. We get inside recruiting information from Jeff every single week. If you want the inside status at Marlowe's, though, it's even easier than that. Become a Marlowe's insider by texting the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. The number 24242, the word Marlowe's. You can find out about special offers and big events happening at the tavern right there in your neighborhood. Jeff, great video work from you last week in Stockbridge at the Atlanta opening regional qualifier. A couple things that came out of that I haven't had a chance to address with you. I want to make sure we do that right now. Jameel Burrows, the UGA commit, I thought this was a very interesting interview. He obviously, as you know, and I know you're going to write more about this too, but he, you know, certainly still has great love for Georgia, but didn't deny that LSU has treated him pretty well in a recent visit, and it seems like he's got a little LSU interest right now. What should the Georgia fans' response to all that be?
I think most people would look at Jameel as maybe one of the cornerstone or anchor recruits of the 2020 class, especially those that do look at the depth chart and look at all things Georgia and wonder where my defensive tackles are at and how many more of those can I get. With Burrows, I think it's just safe to quantify LSU as the number two. Sometimes we talk about somebody's going to win the silver medal and the bronze medal, and I think that's what's happening here with with LSU. All I know is this. Jameel was asking a lot of guys, even guys that were currently committed to the G, at that event. You're still with us, right? You're still good with us, right? Then he was also working on guys like Tate Ratledge as well behind the scenes, so much to the point where with some guys he wouldn't stop talking about Georgia to guys. So I think with Jameel, you're going to see that this guy just feels Georgia's home. He really means something to him when he made the statement, committed to the G for a lot of reasons there. And, you know, Jameel out of McEachern, top five defensive tackle, probably about 6'2", 6'3". Maybe a couple of Dr. Peppers north or burritos north of 310, 315 pounds right now. But when he gets slimmed down and he gets into a really good strength and conditioning program like the one that Sinclair offers at Georgia, you saw the way he moved, Brandon. He wouldn't have no problem moving around on that video and all those highlights at the Atlanta opening. He made the final five, and he got open coming out of the Atlanta regional as well. So always defensive tackles. No coach in the country is ever going to say, well, we just got too many defensive tackles that we can't get them enough reps for. Nobody's going to say that because everyone in the country is looking for more guys like Jameel Burrows.
Yeah, that is well said, Jeff. All right, I need you to talk me down off the ledge about something, and I'm going to get accused of stirring up trouble here, and I don't mean to. But so watching the Arik Gilbert interview that y'all did from Sunday, obviously you know how much I'd love to see Gilbert be a part of this class. The one thing about the interview that concerns me a little bit, when he talks about those conversations with new tight ends coach Todd Hartley and Hartley's pledge to Gilbert that Georgia's going to use the tight ends more. That's Gilbert's own words in your interview with him last Sunday. You can see that on the Dog Nation video channels, including the Dog Nation YouTube page. Jeff, there's a part of me that hearing Gilbert talk there reminds me of that conversation we had a ton with the 2019 class with Jaden Hazelwood about your receiver wanting to see how receiver is going to be used. Now we have a guy in Gilbert who has said, I like catching touchdown passes. I want to catch touchdowns. Also having intimate conversations about how his position is going to be used. You know, is Georgia going to be able to convince Gilbert and Darnell Washington, for that matter, too, this season with Hartley at the helm as tight ends coach, with James Coley calling the plays as offensive coordinator, with Charlie Warner, who I think is a really athletic tight end, the kind of guy that can catch passes if they are thrown to him. Is Georgia going to be able to show Gilbert what he needs to see, and can Georgia get Gilbert to hold off his decision until Georgia gets a chance to put that on display?
I would say that, you know, this is the talk Brandon off the ledge segment of our show. So I would start off with this, Brandon. I wouldn't say that you got a wife and kids and a wonderful home and everything else there to think about. I would just say this. Jim Chaney is in Knoxville, Georgia right now. It's Knoxville, Tennessee, Brandon Adams. That's the first thing I'm saying. Hopefully that'll turn your head. And, James Coley is a different type of play caller, dude. I think the Georgia program understands how they want to change the room for Hartley, change the room for the program as well. You even heard whispers of this when Chaney was recruiting. And I think sometimes you saw Georgia not being fast enough or athletic enough at the tight end position. And what they want to do is they want to put some fear factor on safety. They want to put some fear factor in the defense to stretch the field, get past some guys. And in order to have the ability to do that, you got to take more of those shots, but you got to have better and a different type of athlete at tight end. That's what Georgia's earmarked there with Arik Gilbert and Darnell Washington. Those guys can really go get it. They're big, they're tall, they're lanky, they're fast. And I think Georgia realizes the need to feed the tight end in 2019 and what it will mean for the future of their teams in 2020, 2021. Gilbert is a phenomenal talent. You saw that. He also has the same type of fashion sense that Brandon Adams has on a vacation day in terms of getting some floral leaves and everything
else.
We're
watching that video right now on for the video audience. It looks like a pair of swimming trunks. I got to say, for someone like me who loves the beach, I could not be happier with that attire for sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that's going to be very important for Georgia to do that, and they'll want to see that. And I think the spring game and also some summer practices will be indicative of that as well. And I think it's just kind of funny with everybody that has this dream of what the Georgia passing game will be. And I will just ask everybody to just double down and think about this for a second where, you know, guys like Lawrence Cager, guys like Eli Wolf, definitely George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock are not there yet. And it's sort of like Brandon doing a show here and only being allowed to talk about five stars from the state of Georgia when we're talking about recruiting. Things are different now with the Bulldogs. They do like to reach outwardly, and we've talked about, we spoke about Arizona. There's California with Kendall Milton. There's Nevada now with Darnell Washington. I think Brandon's going to step off the ledge when I say some things like, watch and see what the 2019 season looks like with James Coley calling the plays. Maybe you'll feel differently about spreading the ball around. I also think that maybe Mr. Gilbert, when you listen to conversations, that some of those will show up on Dog Nation soon, but with people close to Gilbert, that there's some real attachment there with the University of Georgia, where maybe, you know, how many balls are in the air, so to speak, and I don't know, you know who I'm referring to with that. I think he wants to see a lot of those things, and I think he will see those this year at Georgia.
All right, really quickly, final thing. Mike Griffith at Dog Nation reported this week that Paris Johnson Jr., the five-star offensive line Ohio State commit, took another visit to UGA, this time with family, after being a part of one of those barnstorming visits that was public on March 17th. Jeff, as you certainly are well aware, this is eye-opening for a lot of people, because bringing family back a second time is a lot different than the scenario with the first visit. Anything that you can add to this context-wise?
I would like to see what the next visit looks like for Paris Johnson as well. You know, it's really interesting. Ohio State has seen him as kind of like a cornerstone guy of their class. And you got to remember, Ohio State fans are a little bit triggery, I would say, when it comes to five-star offensive tackles in their state, because they're a year removed from just seeing Jackson Carman leave the state of Ohio and go to Clemson as well. They lost a big five-star target from a previous class to Clemson. Now you got some more of the same things kicking up here with Paris Johnson. Maybe his commitment is not so solid as it used to be. And Ohio State, I know folks know that our good friend Mr. Fields is there as well, but they're going through a massive offensive line overhaul right now. So much to the effect that they're bringing in transfers from Rutgers, and you know, and the young man from Buford, Harry Miller. I would think if he was in camp right now and getting in the work in Columbus, he would be angling towards some real strong playing time and maybe even a starting position. That's how thin Ohio State's offensive line is right now. So Paris Johnson can kind of see what one offensive line room looks like, and then he can see what the Georgia offensive line room looks like. And listen, I don't care whether you wear jean shorts, whether you got a mullet, whether you want your hair to grow out like Trevor Lawrence, or you're a big fan of whomever across the country. You get in a room and you start debating who has the best offensive lineman and the best offensive line talent. It's going to be very hard for someone to one-up the Bulldogs right now, especially when you've got Jamari Salyer. Those comments this week from Kirby Smart were very salient in my mind, because this was only a matter of time with Jamari. It was only a matter of time with Jamari at center, guard, or tackle. Folks will need to remind themselves that at the opening, I love the story about Jamari. Nobody wanted to play right tackle, and the best, if this is the Atlanta opening a year ago, year prior, nobody wanted to play right tackle, and nobody wanted to block Britton Cox. So
yeah.
One of the camp counselors walked up to Mari and they said, "Hey man, you're probably the only guy here that could do that. Can you do that?" So Jamari said, "Sure, I got you, no problem." He slid out to right tackle, and I think he won two of the three reps against Britton Cox. It was sort of like a mano that was very reminiscent. You see Tate Ratledge going against Miles Murphy this year at the Atlanta opening as well. I mean, just two straight-up grown men going at it. And Jamari can block on that corner. And, you know, if Isaiah Wynn can be a first-round left tackle coming out of the Georgia program under Sam Pittman, Jamari Salyer can wind up in a lot of places. And, you know, his dream team to wind up with, it would be the Dallas Cowboys as well. And you just see Jamari has that potential to do whatever he wants in a game of football.
Can I give you two very quick crackpot theories about all this when it involves Paris Johnson or anybody like that? You may even add like a legend Cavazos into this discussion a bit as well. I think right now it's easier to take recruits from Ohio State than it has been in quite some time. And I think you can look at some of the stuff that, like, say, Mekhale Sherman may have said over the course of the long haul. A guy at one point in time that was thought to be really close with Ohio State, but this changeover in coaching staff seems to make some of those guys a little nervous. In the case of Johnson in particular, you know, Cincinnati would seem like it should be a hotbed for the Buckeyes. But the truth is, you know, a school like Kentucky has gone into that Southern Ohio area and gotten some recruits. You know, I realize those probably weren't priorities for Ohio State necessarily, but, you know, Cincinnati has brushed up against some SEC recruiting before. So, as I said, this is a little bit of a crackpot theory, but a school like Georgia going into Cincinnati for Johnson or even somebody else maybe, that's not as hard as it used to be, I don't think.
Listen to Brandon now, guys. What he's doing is he's trying to talk any Ohio State fans on this stream onto the ledge right now. And I buy that, Brandon, because I do think people want to see, you know, what Ryan Day is all about. What will this program be all about? They don't have that figurehead, one of those college football name brands leading the program anymore. So a lot of people are going to be curious about what Ryan Day's Ohio State will look like going forward. And you got to think about sure things and name brands and guys that are taking guys where they need to go. And, you know, Kirby Smart and Georgia are doing that right now, and that's something that Georgia fans will have to get used to for quite some time.
Jeff Sintel, I got to tell you, it has been great to have you back here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Tell All today. I'll invite folks to become a Marlowe's Insider by texting the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. You can find out inside information about big events, special offers happening in the tavern there in your neighborhood. Jeff, sounds like you got a busy dance card coming up at DogNation.com over the next couple of days. We will look forward to reading that, and it has been so much fun talking recruiting with you today. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right, Brandon. You can stay off the ledge about those tight ends for the weekend until we talk again.
Sounds good, Jeff. See you soon.
See you, man.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
How much fun was that? Jeff Sintel back on Dog Nation Daily. Good times there. Really good recruiting information. Great stuff coming up at DogNation.com from him on Jalen Kimber. A little more on Jamil Burrows and a whole lot more. Please make sure you check that out at DogNation.com. And heading into the weekend, there's likely to be some more recruiting news popping up from time to time as well. Jeff will be all over that there. All right, we'll do the SEC Through. Before that, though, let me remind you about one of my favorite things about your local Atlanta Kroger. You know, my family, we like real milk made from Georgia dairy cows. One of the things I'm the most proud of is the great agriculture heritage that's here in Georgia, and I like real stuff. I like real milk, and not just to drink it, although I put it in my coffee every day. My kids drink gallons of this stuff. I mean, just gallons and gallons and gallons. We go through milk from our local Kroger all throughout the week. But I also love it as an ingredient in food. You know, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that when it comes to, like, real dairy milk from Georgia cows, you know, this stuff is used for shrimp and grits and, obviously, milkshakes and macaroni and cheese. So many of the great items that you like and enjoy, milk is one of the chief ingredients in all of those things. So when you think about your local Atlanta Kroger, one of the things I want you to think about is that real dairy milk from Georgia cows. Incredible product to drink, to use as an ingredient in food. It's just one of the best things coming from Georgia, and it is there for you at your local Kroger, so please make sure you check that out. All right, quick NCAA tournament update. First of all, the Vols went down last night. Probably game of the night, is that fair to say? Game of the night between Purdue and Tennessee. Once again, Rick Barnes, who has not always been great in NCAA tournaments, they came up short. It's a pretty bad loss for Tennessee, right? Yeah, Connor Riley gives me the choke sign. That would be a 15-yard penalty were the officials in here. But, yeah, I would say choke sign, probably a pretty good way to describe that. Bad loss for Tennessee. I enjoyed every minute of it. Was there a little bit of a bad call on the foul that led to the three free throws? I guess probably a little bit, although I ain't crying for the Vols here at all. They go down. We do have three SEC teams playing tonight. I got to tell you, I know we don't talk a ton of college basketball in this program. If there is ever a night you're going to watch college basketball, I mean, either you're not a fan at all that never watches a dribble, which is your prerogative, but if you're ever going to be open to watching basketball, we got four really good games tonight. So much so that I would say that the bracket folks probably did a disservice by putting some duds out last night when you got LSU-Michigan State. That's a main event any arena in the country. Auburn, North Carolina, I think could be the sneaky good game of the entire tournament. I think Auburn, unfortunately, is a blast to watch. North Carolina is my pick to cut down the nets. Houston, Kentucky, I think is a really good game. Virginia Tech, Duke, sounds like it'd be on noon on Raycom on a, you know, January Saturday. But nonetheless, that is Zion Williamson, so you got no beef there. Four more teams will punch their ticket into the Elite Eight, so that should be a lot of fun. Speaking of basketball here really quick, too, I thought this was weird. Nancy Armour, USA Today, wrote a column just ripping into Bruce Pearl, the Auburn coach. And listen, I love national media banging on Auburn. I obviously am entertained by all of that. But in this day and age, like, this was the most, like, paint-by-numbers, tired, old routine. You might as well dust this thing off from, like, 1997. You know, pearl-clutching about the violation of the amateurism of college basketball. I mean, at this point in time, is there anybody in the country who's not totally cynical about the entire ordeal when it comes to this sport? Are we really going to act like Bruce Pearl is somehow doing things way different than anybody else in the world is, given everything that's going on with Nike and Adidas, and now you got Michael Avenatti, he's involved in all this? Are we really going to single out Bruce Pearl as the worst culprit in any of this kind of stuff? I just thought this was the laziest hit job in the world, but it's a jab at Auburn, so from that standpoint, I don't mind it. And then let me do one more thing as part of our SEC through here, and this is also kind of off the beaten path a bit, but it's at least worth pointing out. So Greg Schiano, who most recently was Ohio State defensive coordinator, who you may remember, there was this huge national media push. Dan Wolkin, USA Today, comes to mind as one of the guys kind of leading that. Huge push for Tennessee to hire Schiano as its replacement for Butch Jones, who they ousted. At the time, John Curry, the athletic director, was kind of, I think, using the media in the hopes of kind of building this up as a good hire. Vols fans revolted against this. Some people treated the Tennessee fans as if they were, you know, nut jobs for not accepting what the powers that be wanted to dole out on them, which was Schiano as the head coach. Let's review what's happened since then. Schiano had no real serious look, seemingly, to be the interim coach for Ohio State when Urban Meyer stepped down. Got no look for the replacement there for Meyer there as well. Takes the Patriots defensive coordinator job, which is a good job. I mean, the previous Patriots DCs, the guy with the beard that's in Detroit, Romeo Crennel, a lot of these previous Patriots DCs have gone on to be NFL head coaches. But now Schiano has stepped down from that job. He says he wants to, you know, take his faith and his family seriously, and those are certainly two things that I take really seriously. And maybe he's got something bad going on behind the scenes. If he does, prayers to him. We wish him well. As it on face value, though, this is not a good look for a guy that they tried to, you know, thrust on Vols fans as the next Tennessee coach. In comparison to Jeremy Pruitt, it certainly looks like Tennessee dodged a bit of a bullet there, and they are, much to my chagrin, in much better hands with Pruitt than they would have been with Schiano. And it's another example of, I guess, SEC fans maybe knowing what the national media doesn't know in terms of what would be a better coach. I don't celebrate Tennessee having a good coach, but clearly I think they have a better one now than they could have had athletic director John Curry gotten his way. We will make that your SEC through. All right, coming up in just a moment, I want to talk about a schedule change for the Diamond Dogs. We will do that for you in just a moment. Let me go back in time to the beginning of the show, and actually kind of we just talked about this with Jeff Sintel a moment ago as well. So let me see if I can very, very quickly recap what we talked about yesterday, because we have a follow-up to that. So Paris Johnson, five-star offensive tackle, you heard Jeff Sintel mentioning him a moment ago, officially on the record took a visit to Georgia on March 17th. In fact, we have a picture of Johnson on the UGA campus from his own Twitter feed from March 17th. He is there for that, and everybody knew about that. DogNation.com reported this week that Johnson also came back to Georgia again. Mike Griffith had that report. That was not the kind of thing that was necessarily nearly as public as the March 17th deal was. So a lot of Ohio State fans got very, very nervous, very, very upset about this. So there was this Ohio State like recruiting Instagram account that screen grabbed an old Paris Johnson tweet that said, "When I commit, I'm committed. No decommitting or flipping." That was from Buckeye.recruit on Instagram. We had some fun with this yesterday. We even had some fun with a five-star running back Kendall Milton comment to that Instagram post, which was in jest and fun. Kendall Milton says, "So you ain't told them that yet, Paris Johnson Jr.?" Essentially insinuating that Johnson might decommit from Ohio State. That may indeed happen. I don't know that necessarily Kendall Milton's comment suggests that's going to. As we said yesterday, when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's difficult to know what any of this means, but it is all fun for those of us who like the recruiting soap opera. Well, Kendall Milton's dad, Chris Milton, weighed in on this, responding to Dog Nation on Twitter after yesterday's show to add some extra context to this. Here's what Mr. Milton said. He says, "LOL, you got to understand that all these kids know each other." He means his son and Paris Johnson. "They give each other crap. Don't read into it." I think that's good advice from Mr. Milton there, and I think it's another example of the fact that even if we can't know for sure what any of these guys mean when they talk on social media, it's not going to stop the speculation, because obviously there's huge interest in where Milton lands and where Paris Johnson eventually lands as well. I'll also say one more thing here. Check out Chris Milton on Twitter. What is it about potential running backs at Georgia? DeAndre Swift's dad is one of the toughest men you'll ever meet. Take a look at the picture of Kendall Milton's dad, too. He spent plenty of time himself in the weight room. Georgia's potential crop of running back fathers, if Milton would indeed come to Georgia one day, could be quite impressive indeed, because Mr. Milton may follow in the footsteps of Mr. Swift as a UGA player dad that nobody would want to mess with. So good stuff there on that. All right. Here on Dog Nation Daily on Fridays, we like to head into the weekend in style, getting ready for the weekend. And with us, that means the Kroger kickoff, looking ahead to the big weekend that is to come. And there's one thing in particular that I want to make you aware of here today. Normally, we do a lot of things for the Kroger kickoff of the weekend. Today, I want to do just one thing for our Kroger kickoff, because it's a change you need to be aware of. A lot of times this happens in college baseball. Diamond Dogs, who won last night on the SEC Network against Kentucky, another big outing for Emerson Hancock. Dogs look good. They play tonight at 6:30, and were supposed to conclude their schedule with Kentucky and Lexington on Saturday. Because of some pending weather up there in the Bluegrass State, that game has now been changed to 10 a.m. I'm assuming you still get SEC Network Plus for that. You'll also get radio on our friends at 960 The Ref. But schedule change for Saturday for the Diamond Dogs, that's 10 a.m. They'll play that game early, and then Georgia will get back to Athens. It's our Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily. And speaking of heading into the weekend, at Kroger, make sure you score big savings on fan favorites like Kroger meat, cheese, and party trays, pork back ribs, and bone-in chicken wings. You're getting ready to watch some basketball this weekend. Your local Kroger is a great place to get stocked up. You'll save, and you will enjoy some food that tastes really, really good. And speaking of the weekend, hope you get ready to enjoy some fun yourself, whatever you happen to be doing. We'll be in Athens tomorrow a bit for Georgia spring practice. Hear from some Georgia players at the conclusion of that. Also get another chance to do an eyewitness report on what we see there on the field. So that will be fun tomorrow as part of Georgia practice. But here on Dog Nation Daily would not be a conclusion to our program if we did not wrap up by reminding you that it has now been 881 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. It's our Gator Hater Updater. We do it here because we believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater. There are a lot of rivals the Georgia Bulldogs have, but to us, there is none more important than the rivalry that Georgia has with Florida. It is the put-up-or-show-up game in the SEC East virtually every year, and again this year, we think Georgia's going to win it again. Thank you all for making this a great week for us here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you have a terrific weekend. We'll see you back here Monday for another episode of the program, Dog Nation Daily.